So it's a good question, Charlie Brown. What's the meaning of Christmas? So can anyone tell Charlie Brown what's going on? Linus tells him that Jesus is coming. He tells them that Christmas is about the birth of God's Messiah. And that's a story, not just for Charlie Brown, that's a story for everyone to hear. And we're going to celebrate that event in just two more days, Christmas Eve. We're going to gather again and celebrate the Messiah's birth, remembering this epic moment in God's story. So I'm excited about it for it this morning. I was telling Cheryl that it was this season I was just feeling a little not quite as engaged as we're moving up to Christmas. But this morning I can say I'm getting excited. So are you excited about Christmas Eve? Yeah, are you ready for it to come? That's good. You know, in 2 days, we're all going to come back here and we're going to begin our celebration with a worship service where we gather together to with candlelight and music and hymns and carols and share the timeless story of Jesus' birth. You know, it's an evening that has all kinds of meaning for us and all kinds of nostalgia, and it brings us back into the meaning of Christmas. So I'm really excited about Christmas Eve. But you know, it's not the end of the story. You know, it's an incredible moment in God's story, but it certainly is not the end. It's an unimaginable moment when God becomes flesh and comes to live among us as a baby in a manger, but it's not the end of the story. So it's really the beginning. And it's the beginning of God fulfilling all the dreams and visions that he has given to the prophets over the ages, including the visions of Daniel in the Old Testament. So these are images that give voice and imagination to this eternal rule and the coming kingdom that God will set up with his Messiah. But it's still a kingdom, though it's revealed, waiting to be fulfilled. So it's not the end of the story. Jesus is coming. He's going to take his throne and reign. So these are dreams that remind us to get ready, right? Jesus is coming. And that's what we discover through the visions of Daniel today. But before we go there, I think we have something to celebrate this morning. We are really kind of have reached a milestone in the church in these days. Today marks the kind of the end of a 2.5-year journey that we have been on through the Immerse Reading Bible series. In fact, we began this in the winter of 2017 in the second volume of the Immerse series, the Reading Bible, as we committed back then to read through the whole Bible in 8-week segments, 5 different volumes so far. And in a way that we would understand, in a way that we could grasp, and then to preach through it and talk about it as we go. And we have done that. So it was a big commitment for us, but I'm so encouraged that between 50 and 100 of you, each time we've started a new volume, have grabbed a book or have read it on a Kindle and have engaged in this series of reading the Bible. We've discussed it in book clubs, we've gathered together, and this has been an amazing journey, and it has brought up some amazing questions along the way. So did you know that if you have read through now the whole Old Testament, that you have read over 622,000 words? Pretty amazing, right? 622,000 words. But what I think is more important than that is that these are hundreds of thousands of Holy Spirit-inspired words. And that has to have an impact on us, doesn't it? As a church, an amazing thing is happening. And as we go through this right now, if you have followed through the Old Testament reading, you have read 3/4 of the Bible. Pretty amazing, right? And what's ahead is just one more series. So good job, church. We are demonstrated that we are committed to the scriptures by actually doing this. Imagine this, reading it, right? Pretty amazing, reading the Bible. So I really believe it's worth celebrating today. So let's give a round of applause and amen. Let's say, praise God, we're reading the scriptures. So God's word is so important that I believe we want to read it, we want to reflect on it, we want to do it again and again and again. And so Linus He made Charlie Brown's Christmas because he was committed to God's word. He knew God's story, and he was able then to share it. Now, how much more important for us who are making followers of Jesus to know God's word, to be able to share it with others? Do you know, I never read the Bible until I was 26 years old. And then I picked it up, and it was a Bible that had pictures in it. So, you know, but I hear others say again and again, "Pastor Tim, you know, I've never read the whole Bible." You know, I get that. Or "I really don't know what's in the Bible. How do I read it?" Well, that's a great question and good news, because we are going to have one more bold opportunity to read all of the New Testament together coming up right before Easter. So we are going to gather over 8 weeks. We're going to read through all the books of the New Testament in a format that's easy to read or easy to listen to, if that's what you like to do. And here's the best part. We know it works. We've proven it 5 times already. So we can do this. This is absolutely doable. If you have never read the Bible, or if you've read it 15 times, we're going to have the opportunity to do it again. So just before Easter, we're going to read the New Testament. And so I want to encourage you to look for that, look ahead, and even make a commitment right now. When that comes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to read the Bible with the church. Which fits our theme today, that Charlie Brown asks, "Can anyone tell me what's going on? What's going on?" You know, as we bring the Old Testament to a close, this whole series that we've been going through has been a story begging for its fitting conclusion. Where is this all heading? Well, Daniel, he's giving us a chance to look ahead, and though I admit it comes in some pretty bizarre and some pretty strange dreams. So we all have had bizarre dreams, right? But Daniel's actually mean something. And Daniel's dreams are interpreted by heavenly beings. And Daniel's dreams, even for Daniel, they trouble him, and they're terrifying, and it makes him unsure. In fact, at the end of Daniel's book, he writes this. He says, "I have heard what they said. I have heard what he said," you know, these angelic beings interpreting his dreams. "I have heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant." You ever feel like that? "I heard what he said. I didn't understand it. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord?" So even though Daniel is confused, for Daniel and all who are waiting for God, this is a dream come true. You see, from Babylon to Bethlehem to Wheaton to Lake Travers to Dumont to Hermon to Ross Holt, wherever people are seeking God, God is at work. And Charlie Brown, he didn't know what was going on, and then Linus revealed the meaning of Christmas. And King Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel's book, he didn't know what was going on, and then Daniel revealed the meaning of his dreams and the kingdoms of the world to come. And his successor, King Belshazzar, he didn't know what was going on, and then Daniel revealed that his reign would come to an end with the writing on the wall. And King Darius the Mede, he didn't know what was going on. And then from a lion's den, the Lord spoke through Daniel and revealed his plan for kings and kingdoms. And King Cyrus of Persia, he didn't know what was going on. And then he sent exiles back to Jerusalem to start rebuilding the temple. And Daniel himself, he didn't know what was going on. And then on the banks of the Tigris River, an angelic being began to speak of his visions. And still, after all of this, Daniel says, "But I did not understand what he meant." Do you ever find yourself in that predicament? You're in a jam, wondering, what is God's plan? Not just what is God's plan for all eternity, what does the future hold, but what is God's plan for me today? Do you ever feel like you just have bits and pieces and you just can't put the puzzle together? Maybe you feel like you had a plan, you were walking with God, God was all over it, and then all of a sudden things changed, and now you really have no idea what's up and what's down. Or maybe you're in a place right now that you are confident, you are right square smack dab in the middle of God's plan. God is blessing you, things are going great, and you don't want anything to change. You know, if that's where you are today, then I would advise you, don't go to sleep. Don't have a dream. Because God may change your plans. But even for Daniel, that didn't matter because he had visions while he was awake. So go ahead, get your sleep, that's all right. Wherever you are today, God has a good plan for you. And Daniel, he was serious about following that good plan for his people. He knew God had entrusted him with this powerful message. So powerful, in fact, that he went to his knees in prayer, searching the scriptures, praying out of scriptures that God would bring fulfillment. In fact, in Daniel 9, we read that during the first year of Darius's reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord, God, and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. So he found in Jeremiah's prophecy, and we go back to that in Jeremiah 29, it says this. This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. See, they had been carried into exile out of Babylon, and now in the word Jeremiah had written before they were carried off, that 70 years later, God would return them. So Daniel picks up on this prophecy. He knew that the 70 years were now about up, and God had a good plan for his people. And maybe you've heard this next phrase in this context of Jeremiah. It's a phrase that is popular in the Bible, and it should be because it reminds us that God has a good plan for us. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That speaks to some of you today. That should speak to all of us today. It speaks to Daniel way back on the rivers of Babylon. Daniel's hanging on to God's plan. You and I, we want to know it too. We want to hang on to God's good plan. He thinks he knows what's coming. And then God's vision gives Daniel a different understanding, at least a different version of what Daniel's expecting. I want to have you follow along with me in Daniel chapter 9. We're going to read a little bit here in the passage. And as you do, understand that this is something really different. This is a little strange. So you ready? So you read along? Here we go. As I was praying, Gabriel, so an angel, who I had seen in earlier visions, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice, and he explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I am here to tell you what it was, for you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. Here it is. A period of 70 sets of seven has been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their rebellion, to put an end to their sin, to atone for their guilt, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and to anoint the most holy place. Now listen and understand. Seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until a ruler, the anointed one, comes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and strong defenses despite the perilous times. And Daniel lost his place, and he's waiting for the Lord's revelation. A ruler, the anointed one, comes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt. So 26, after this period of 62 sets of seven, the anointed one will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing, and a ruler will arise whose armies will destroy the city and the temple. The end will come with a flood, and war and its miseries are decreed from that time to the very end. The ruler will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven, But after half this time, he will put an end to the sacrifices and offerings. And as a climax to all his terrible deeds, he will set up a sacrilegious object that causes desecration until the fate decreed for this defiler is finally poured out on him. Wow. Can anyone tell me what all that means? Did you get that? Gabriel, the messenger from God, he says to Daniel, listen carefully so he could understand. Did you understand what all that means? You know, this is the same pretty crazy stuff that I understand is Daniel's response. I understand Daniel's response at the end of his book. You know, after all this, he said, I don't understand. I don't understand. You know, we do have an advantage today, looking back across the ages. We're looking on the world stage as we see some of these events take place, what has happened, but not all of them. And I'm going to ask you to put on your Bethlehem Church Seminary hats for a moment, okay? We're going to seminary. Are you ready? We're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to go in and try to understand and figure this out. It's not that easy. But here's the good news. You know, I made it through seminary, and if I can do it, I am confident that you can do this. So we're going to do that. We're going to set up Daniel 101 in 8 minutes or less, okay? All right, so put on your hats. Seminary hats. Here we go. So throughout the book of Daniel, we need to pay attention to two themes. Two themes. The first is a pattern, and then the second is a promise. So two themes, a pattern and then a promise. So here's the first theme in this book, a pattern. It goes like this. Without following God, humans and their kingdoms become violent beasts. So apart from God, human beings and their kingdoms become like violent beasts. We see these images in the scripture. And they're glorifying their own power and redefining right and wrong. So from images of Daniel's dreams, we have these apocalyptic depictions. It's kind of a term, a phrase of a kind of writing. It means these are fantastic visions. They're bizarre images that represent heavenly revelations. And they're not easy to pinpoint in the exact place and time in history. But if you remember King Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a statue, it represented four kingdoms. And so we have this kind of set of four repeated from the kingdom of Babylon to the end times. And even though scholars differ on these interpretations, many agree that they represent past kingdoms on earth, but not completely. They also represent the end times to come. So Daniel's first dream is, again, of how many? Four beasts. I had to look four beasts. And pictures of what they look like. If you were drawing these out, it'd be kind of interesting. The first one is a beast that has a lion's head and eagle's wings, and then the wings fall off. And the last one is a beast with 10 horns. Now, if you're a deer hunter, this would be kind of exciting, right? But 10 horns. And in those 10 horns, then three of those fall off. Typical, probably got shot in the head. And then one more comes up from that, and that's a small horn, but it's a powerful horn. And that horn represents, most scholars believe, the Antichrist of the end times of the world. So we have, again, these visions from Babylon to the Medes and Persians and the empires of the Greeks, and even the Romans are usually attributed to some of this. Some of these match up actually quite well. And then Daniel has a vision of a ram with two horns, and he's overthrown by a goat with one horn. And so this goat then becomes a ruling power, set on overthrowing God's rule and destroying God's people. So again, we have these depictions of these beasts coming against God's kingdom. And then the last vision, it involves an ongoing battle between the kings of the north and the kings of the south. And ultimately, they defile the temple of the Lord. And God then suddenly puts an end to the beastly reign of these kings. They're overthrown by God. And so when we put this all together, and then we add in Gabriel's explanation of these sets of seven, which seems like all these bizarre numbers, this pattern reveals the rise and fall of these beastly kingdoms apart from God, set against God, but the days are not fulfilled. There are things described that are yet to come. And so it talks about finishing Israel's rebellion, to put an end to sin, to bring in everlasting righteousness. And if we understand the world today, you know, there still is sin in the world. Sin is not put away. You know, these things are not complete. And Jesus himself, he uses some of this language in his descriptions of the end times. He's saying that there'll be calamity, and if the days were not shortened, nobody would survive. So the pattern, it continues toward the end times. And even though we have experienced some aspects of the kingdom, we find some phrases in here: to atone for guilt, to confirm the prophetic vision, the anointed one, which we assigned to Jesus, it will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing. So this seems to be a clear allusion to Jesus and his crucifixion, his death that people thought was just the end, but then something amazing happens. He raises from the dead. So which highlights our second theme, which is this: a promise. So we have a pattern and we have a promise. So God will rescue his people and his world by confronting the beast and bringing the reign of his messianic king over all nations. So the king is coming, right? This is a final showdown. God's promised Messiah is going to reign. His rule will be established, and God will bring an end to the beastly kingdoms that oppose him. Daniel 7, it says, I watched as thrones were put in place, and the ancient one sat down to judge. So a vision of what is to come. The ancient one represents God. And I kept watching until the fourth beast was killed and his body was destroyed by fire. And this seems to be, again, an allusion to the Antichrist being judged at the end times. We have this in Revelation where the beast is thrown into the lake of fire. And then Daniel is showing what all are waiting for. This kind of pinpoints the future. As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like the Son of Man coming in the clouds. Who is that? It's Jesus. He approached the Ancient One and led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. So the central purpose of the whole book seems to point to this verse in the middle of chapter 7, Daniel 7, 18. It says this: but in the end, the holy people of the Most High will be given the kingdom, and they will rule forever and ever. We talked about this in an earlier sermon. Who are the holy people of God? We are followers of Jesus, followers of Messiah, the holy people of God. They will reign and rule forever and ever. All right, seminary's almost over. You doing okay? All right, you're all awake yet. That's pretty good. So the outcome of Daniel's dreams and visions are revealed. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It's a dream come true. He's going to set up his rule and reign over nations, and his people will flourish in the kingdom. So the last detail is this. When? We know when Christmas Eve is, right? Two more days. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, his first coming. When is Jesus returning? When is Jesus coming? Gabriel, he tells Daniel, now listen and understand. Got this? Listen closely. Seven sets of 70, that seems to be 490, plus 62 sets of seven, I don't have the math, will pass from that time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until a ruler, the anointed one, comes. Scholars have been trying to pinpoint this exact time since this vision was given. Daniel heard it, but he still said what? I don't understand. Jesus said to his followers when they were asking, when, Jesus, when is this going to happen? Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Jesus himself doesn't even know. Who knows? Only the Father knows. So seminary with Daniel leaves us a pattern and a promise. The pattern reveals that human beings apart from God, human beings in their kingdoms become beasts, represented in all these images. The promise revealed is this: Jesus is coming. Who's coming? Jesus is coming. God will finally confront the beasts and rescue his world and his people. So good job for staying in tune and Bethlehem Seminary. You can give yourselves a hand. You can get credit for this and put it on your resume, so just keep that in check. Now, after all that, do you feel like Linus? You have the meaning? Or do you feel like Charlie Brown and Daniel? I don't understand. Well, Daniel, he was confused, but he also knew God had entrusted him with a powerful message for his people. And it's a message that I'm convinced is still for God's people today. You see, from Babylon to Bethlehem to Lake Travers to Wheaton to Graceville to Ross Holt to Dumont, wherever people are seeking God, God is at work. God is overthrowing the beasts of this world through the message of the Messiah. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those living in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. God has a plan for his people. God has a plan for you, and it's to give you hope and a future, a plan that will be accomplished because Jesus is coming. And here's the meaning today. If you haven't yet put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, then Linus got it right. The meaning of Christmas is God's Messiah has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And we can celebrate God's gift this season by giving our heart to Jesus, by receiving him as Lord and Savior. Let Jesus come in. Let him reign in your heart. Let his kingdom be your kingdom that lasts forever. For all of us then who do have faith in Christ, or who right now put our faith in Christ, then we are commissioned to make followers of Jesus, and God has entrusted us with a powerful message for our world. Can you be a Linus? Can you be a Daniel? Can you tell the people around you about the meaning of Christmas? Can you invite someone to come to a Christmas Eve service at 3:30 or 5:30 to hear the good news that God has sent his son to save the world? You see, Jesus is coming. Say that with me. Jesus is coming. Tell the world around us, Jesus is coming.
Get ready. Jesus is coming. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a babe wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.
Jesus is coming.